it's 6 o'clock. We'll call the meeting of the Bartlett Public Library District Committee of the Whole to order. We have a roll call, please.
Trustee Barry, here. DeCarl.
Here.
DeSmit.
Here.
Sias here. Olson, absent. Boyer.
Here.
Daney, absent.
Okay, Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Do we have any town hall? No. Okay, we have one item on the agenda today, which is the review of the employee handbook.
So Katie Converse, our HR generalist, we sent out the new revised version that was reviewed by an attorney at HR Source. And then we sent out a list of the major changes. And then we also, by request, sent out the old manual so that you could compare the changes. There was a lot of grammatical changes and wording, but most of the content remained the same legally because of the requirements of the state or what have you. Does anyone have any questions about the handbook and the suggested revisions? And Katie is here to help answer, as Mallory and I will also.
Katie, what were the increments of employee? I was like, when do you read where you were stopping with the G? Because it's got to keep going shut. And I can't see. Dave, not both either. Okay. What were the increments of employee vacation? Like at present, what are we at?
Yeah, so let me pull up the current policy. The new one just combines the personal time with the vacation time, and it was rounded up to create a full day instead of it being like 7.666. That just doesn't make any sense. So let's pull it up here. Okay, so vacation time policy right now, 0 to 4 years is 112.5, 5 to 9 is 150, and 10 plus is 187.5.
Okay, so it says stated here where it says old on our paperwork. That's exactly what we're doing now.
Yes, so okay. That's what we're doing now, and then under the major changes, so the current policy does not include personal time, so with the new handbook, the personal time what we currently have is lumped in with vacation. So that way it's one bank, you can use it however you want, quarter hour, increment hour, full day, whatever. And then it was rounded up to the, you know, make it a full day if it was unused. So on the form, the document that was sent, major changes to employee handbook, it's listed the old and the new. So everyone gets an extra day.
And then can we just note for the record that Trustee Olson has entered the meeting at
6:02.
So then the other new thing is that right now, anybody over 10 years falls into this bracket for the old. And the new, you're stating, or the management put together something for 15 plus years. Is that about 7 weeks of vacation in personal time?
So it'd be 36 days, 270 hours, so like 6 weeks.
Seven weeks.
But I feel that, you know, with employees being here 20 plus years, I think it's well deserved.
I'm fine with the 20 plus, but this is saying 15.
Yeah, on the new one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because we have 0 to 4, 5 to 9, 10 to 14, and 15 plus on the new one. Because the old personal time policy had a 15 plus year bracket. But the vacation time does not. So we're doing it for consistency purposes.
I have a question. How does this additional week's vacation fit in with what's happening in our survey of comparable results?
I mean, at the end of the day, you're not, because the personal time is being lumped in for vacation, you're really not getting extra time other than a day.
You're referring to the 15 plus years?
Yep.
He's referring to the extra tier that we've added, the 15 plus years, the six, 7 weeks of vacation. How
so
that fits into the survey.
Right now, for 10, for, let me pull up the personal time policy. Regular full-time employees, 20 or more years, is 45 hours. So that's a week and a half.
So you're asking if it's comparable with other benefits at other libraries?
Yes.
We did not do a survey of benefits like that at other libraries, but I think it's a perk, especially with the newer workforce coming in. And we value work-life balance, and so I think having enough vacation time will keep employees here. And again, we do currently have employees that have been here 20 plus years, and so I think that is a big thank you for your service.
I understand. Well, what's the industry doing? We're a sole provider. We're surveying other wages. Why not benefits?
I mean, with the benefits, I can reach out to other libraries. However, it's also dependent upon their size as well. And a lot of libraries in a peer hub that I reach out to are bigger entities. And so I don't think that would be a fair judgment.
So what do you think is a fair judgment?
I think what is proposed, in addition to the floating holiday and all that kind of stuff that we've added, I think is a benefit.
I'm asking you, what do you think the incremental...
We increased that tier by the same increment that every other tier was presented at. So the difference between 0 to 5 years, from 5 to 10 years, from 10 to 15 years,
no,
15 plus we updated.
We
just added an additional tier.
I understand that. But what is the industry standard? I mean, we're now getting to, with this we have 36 days plus...
Three-person float.
We have potential for 12 holidays.
I believe Trustee Olson is trying to say, how does a benefit like the 15-year plus giving someone 6 weeks of vacation, how does that compare to other libraries and the benefits that they offer their employees?
Exactly.
Okay, I can reach out to other libraries.
There's a reasonable limit, I think, in terms of what you can provide. When we're talking 36 days plus 12 days of vacation or holidays, other personal day, and on top of that, potentially 12 sick days, we're talking 60 days or 12 weeks of time out of a 52-week calendar, and I don't know whether that's reasonable. It seems to me excessive.
And I understand your concern. However, we do value work-life balance here at the library, and so making sure that we don't have burnout. That's really important, especially with being a smaller library. If we have burnout and we don't allow work-life balance and time off or PTO, we're going to lose staff, and I don't want that to happen.
And I think also because the pay that we offer is not as competitive as other libraries, bringing this extra tier of longevity for additional vacation is a benefit and a perk.
So,
and it's only for a few employees.
Yeah, if we're not able, I feel that if we're not able to match exactly what other libraries are offering pay-wise, the benefits need to outweigh the pay. And unfortunately, you know, in today's society, a lot of people that I've talked to when offering a position, they do request benefit information because it is important to them.
I have a question. How many employees will be involved in this 15-year plus?
And how many are already in 20 year? You know, because you probably have some already in 21.
Approximately 10.
Less than 5. I'll have to get back to
there's
you.
There's two in the 20.
Two in the 20, yeah. I'll double check once I get back to my computer, but it's less than
10. Minimum.
Thank you.
So how many would be kind of approaching, if they're in the 10 to 14, how many are in that category getting closer to the 15 plus?
I'll have to double check on that in Paylocity. That extra day or whenever they reach their anniversary, that's when it's added. So it could be at the beginning of the fiscal year, it could be at the very end. It just depends. Any unused vacation does get rolled over to sick time. So they may not, you know, an employee may not even use all of their time. So.
And I also want to stress that if somebody requests time off and it's not conducive to the department scheduling or what the department needs are, that can be and will be taken into the thought or the allowance of letting somebody take the time.
Time off is approved or denied. It's not just because they have 6 weeks doesn't mean they get 6 weeks every single time. I'd also like to add that, you know, we have staff, and if I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but once you're at 20 plus years, you know, you might be facing other like health issues, and we've seen that where people have had to take 12 weeks off. So being able to support an employee to have something happen in their life that they need to take 12 weeks off for, I think is important. And that's rare circumstances, but that's also, you know, a benefit, I think.
Are there any other questions regarding the different changes?
Are we still doing the holidays the same way? Like if something falls on a, like the parade day or that, they get, okay, still.
Nothing changed with the holiday.
Okay, just making sure.
The only thing that has changed is the part-time three level, getting paid for that if they're scheduled to work. Which there's only three employees that fall under that.
So explain how that works.
Explain.
How does it, what are you referring
so
to?
So the part-time three level, which is IMROC level employees, mm-hmm. they currently are not included in those paid holidays, and so including them, because they are IMRF level, is a benefit. The other part-timers that are below IMRF level get the state law of the Paid Leave for All Workers Act. It's not required for them to use it for paid holidays, but they can if they want to, and so that's something that we added at the part-time three level, getting paid for those scheduled closings if they're scheduled to work. The holidays.
Trustee Olson, you said you had something else to add?
Yes. The doubling of the paid time off for maternity?
Parental.
I'm sorry?
Parental.
Oh, yes. Okay. I forgot about all the other things that fit into that. Which to some extent is an extension of what we already have. How much of that is mandated by law as far as how many weeks do we have?
It is not mandated by law, but paid parental leave is a perk. I did reach out to other libraries to see what they have. Some don't have any at all. Some have 6 weeks, 8, 10, 12. It just varies across the board. But, you know, I think 12 is reasonable. That's why we decided to start. We want to be a leader, not a follower. So, you know, we're already leading in the aspect of we have 6 weeks versus libraries that don't have anything. And so I think 12 weeks would be a benefit.
It also helps for families that have a child to have the 12 weeks and not use up their personal time, because during that first year, there's a lot of doctor's appointments, there's, you know, things that you have to do. So to have the parental leave in place for 12 weeks allows the employee to still have vacation or personal time, sick time, and not have to use it all during the paternal leave, and still have additional time to use for other things that may arise.
Would you please provide us with the survey data that you did?
Yes.
List the libraries and what they do?
Mm-hmm.
I have a question, Joel, if I could jump in, please. Kind of like, in the last 5 years, kind of like, how often have we people use parental leave? How many employees have used it?
Four. Sorry, I laughed because half of those are myself.
Other than kind of like, it's not.
It's not a common usage, I guess. I don't know what the proper word is, but it's not something that happens frequently. Let's just.
So, I'm just kind of looking. Okay, so we've been at 6 weeks. So I know there's companies out there that they do, let's say, 6 weeks paid, but they still hold your position for the full 3 months or however long. We still have that
yes.
option.
Parental leave falls with FMLA, so
okay.
FMLA protects
just
that
to make
for
sure
12
we have
weeks.
That
but FMLA is not paid leave, it's just
correct.
Protected leave. So
correct.
We wanted to offer, again, going back to that idea of, you know, if we can't be as competitive as we want with pay to attract and retain employees, we really evaluated what type of benefits we can offer employees that might, you know, attract and retain people to stay here and have, like Katie's saying, that balance with work, because, you know, we want to put the humanity into our positions and our policy.
Katie, did you in fact bring this evening the salary survey data that I had asked for?
I do not have that specific document, but I can speak about it.
I mean, you know, I'm hearing an argument here that we're underpaying people, and I asked for data.
May I ask when you asked for that data?
We sent the email. What's the mid-range for a library position, Katie?
$27? $30
an hour is the midpoint range for librarian. And what is our starting salary for a new librarian?
$23.95.
And do you know how much our highest paying librarian is making? Not a manager.
$30.
$30. And how long have they been here?
17 years.
Question about parental leave. Can they, with the 12 weeks, can they like take 6 weeks, come back? Because sometimes the spouse also has parental leave and you're kind of alternating. They don't have to take the 12 weeks at one time.
So there is a statement in the current policy about that.
Yeah, I read that. It didn't have to be continuous.
What page is it on, Katie? When you find it.
Unfortunately, this does not have page numbers, which will be added to the new handbook, by the way. But it is right after the Illinois Paid Leave for All Workers Act policies. Would prior approval from the library director and prior arrangements with the employee's manager paid parental leave may be taken intermittently based on the needs of the library?
So they can take the 6 weeks and then they can, depending on.
It has to be used within a 6 month time frame. Any unused paid parental leave will be forfeited at the end of the 6 month time frame.
So they can't stretch it out.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions on the policy?
I have a question in regards to personnel records policy. I was surprised to hear that employees are requesting from the library medical records. That struck me as very unusual. Why not their physicians, the providers?
This could also be workers' comp stuff too. In my time here, no one's asked for medical records, but it is a clause that has to be added because HIPAA, to get authorization from the employee to send medical records.
You indicated in your six-page summary that you'd also deleted the language regarding employment of minors because we don't employ minors.
Correct. The employment lawyer from HR Source said that if we don't employ minors, we don't need to have that policy.
We don't currently, but does it make sense to eliminate something that is a possibility?
I mean, it always can be re-added at a later date, but we don't currently employ any minors, and I don't foresee employing minors in the future, at least right now. All of the job openings that we have require at least a high school diploma. And so we'd be graduating from high school here.
That was more prevalent when we had shelvers or...
like volunteers?
No, shelvers.
Okay.
You know,
just shelvers.
Yeah, okay.
Shell, you do have to have a high school diploma, right? Is that
we don't have a shelving position. We have CERC associates.
Yeah, all of our associates do.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I missed the rationale because of my lateness, but why combining vacation and personal time. The thing that I see as a potential problem with that is that it becomes why don't we have it in 5 years from now or whatever period of time? Well, we're not provided any personal time. Is this category being reclassified with a different definition of what this time is that makes it clear that it's... I don't think it's unusual for employers to be combining, but I think the definition of the time needs to be clear so that we don't run into a problem in 5 years when people are complaining, well, we don't have any personal days.
It would be clearly communicated to the employees that this can be used in any increment that they so choose. It is not our business as to why people take time off and need to leave an hour early or whatnot. You know, and personal time, in the current employee handbook, it kind of specifies if you need to go to the bank, if you need to go home an hour early or ComEd to show up at your house.
Anything
it's
that
not our
can't
business.
Be done during business hours or something. That was how it was
yeah.
explained
yeah.
to me. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
also very confusing to our staff,
yeah.
I think. I think people have a hard time differentiating between personal and vacation time and what to use for which thing. And there's such a small amount of personal time, people just run, they use it for a full day and then it's obsolete. And so it's easier for our employees, it's streamlined for our employees to understand if they have a bank of sick time and a bank of vacation time, vacation can be used for.
So vacation rolls over, but the two personals or three personals, they have to take them in here.
So vacation doesn't necessarily roll over. There is a procedure in place where you have to fill out a form. It has to go to Carolyn to approve it, whether or not you can roll over these hours, and if so, how much. So it's not guaranteed that whatever vacation you have left over at the end of the year will be carried over.
But it gets converted into sick
time. Yes, it would get converted into sick time. Also, on an administrative end as well, having just the two separate banks versus, oh, vacation you have to do this with, and personally you got to do this with, it would just make it easier for employees and administrative.
So is there a way to identify in the policy that so many of those hours are considered personal, just so a new employee?
No, we're trying to take that all out. We're trying to take that confusion out,
so
that there is no.
Okay, so in other words,
so if you have any personal matter, whether it's COMET coming or anything like that, vacation is used for any,
gotcha,
any matter of that,
okay,
and then sick, that's how it would be explained to employees.
Okay, thank you.
Is there a definition anywhere of minimum hours that need to be taken? Minimum time?
We have it as increments of, doesn't it say that in there, the increments to which?
Are we, so we're
it can
still
be as little as 15 minutes.
Yeah. It does not have an increment, but that would be, that's something we can add. It should be taken in 15-minute increments, otherwise it gets all kind of screwy in the payroll system.
Well, it wouldn't even let you.
That's also true.
The payroll system rounds to 15.
Yes, that is true.
So if we had somebody who was eventually late or left early, they could use vacation time to make up their 7.5-hour day?
Vacation time should be requested in advance.
So here we go back to vacation and personal. That's where I was trying to understand. Is an employee going to understand why I need to take some time? You said it's called vacation, but really people are saying I'm using it for personal. Just didn't want any confusion.
No, I mean, when we onboard somebody, we would explain, yeah, sick time is used for sick, and here's the things that count for that. Any other time off falls under vacation. Vacation should just, if anything, be like leisure, right? Like, it's not for taking a vacation. To go back a second to talk about, sorry, can you repeat what you just said? I don't want to repeat your answer.
We were talking about the whole, Joe was saying, 15 minutes later, leaving 15
oh,
minutes.
Oh, about somebody who's habitually,
yeah,
late or early. In that instance, if somebody were to come in 15 minutes late every single day or at least twice a week and they just use PTO to make up that time, they are able to take PTO to make up that time to reach their required hours for the week. However, the employees and the managers review timesheets every single week and every single pay period. The manager would see that that person's habitually coming in late and address that situation. When it's not something that just would slide, we'd say, oh, you're 15 minutes late every day, fine, just use PTO. We'd say, hey, let's address the issue. But if for some reason you're coming in late, I live by a freight train. I get stuck at the freight train sometimes and I end up being 10 minutes late and I have to use a little bit of PTO that week because that's just what happened. That's something that somebody can do. So
I have a question about exempt and non-exempt. When I was working, exempt people had to take a whole day for PTO. They couldn't just do like 4 hours. Now non-exempt could do 4 hours. So is that something that we do also?
So currently, no, non-exempt. Exempt and non-exempt employees are all doing the same way of like getting up to 75. Starting July 1st, we'll put into effect for exempt employees. If you are taking a half day or more, then you have to put in so many hours. Leaving like 2 hours early, then you don't have to put in PTO. Non-exempt is different because that's hourly, so you would have to put in whatever to be the 7.5 hours.
I have a question. I came in thinking I knew the difference, and now I don't know if I know the difference. It's kind of a topic that's coming up a couple times. what's being called vacation under the new heading. I think actually Miller made an example of if somebody needs personal time, that's different. So if the library is planned appropriately for proper staffing, and we're kind of pressed for people, and someone says, hey, this is personal time. I know we call it vacation, but this is personal. I got to go 3 hours early. Isn't there some problem there, or is there a different understanding of that? Like on the day of, they say, hey, kids got to go to the doctor. Good luck. I got to go.
They could use sick time.
Yeah. Sick time is for the use of spouse, child, sibling.
Perhaps if I use a different example. Instead of sick family
member. Your
house
is flooding.
There you go.
Your house is flooding. I need to go home.
Yeah. I mean, these are horrible examples. They're like needle in a haystack stuff. But I'm trying to get clarity on if there's benefit to calling this all the same. Days.
I think that we're human enough that we would say, yes, go home. The library will survive without you. Put in PTO. In any instance where somebody
not
has
not PTO, vacation time.
Paid time off. PTO. Vacation is PTO.
Okay, so we're going to call it paid time off.
Paid time off has sick time and vacation time.
Sorry.
So, and those examples, right? You can use sick time to take your kid where you need to go if your house is flooding. You can use your vacation bank. And we can rename it if it's, like, too confusing. We can rename it. And ultimately, if people think that we should have personal time for those types of protections, like, that is a discussion.
I think
that
that's
we
how
can
it
have.
Was originated.
But I think that we're putting the humanity into our policies. Like, we aren't going to be like, no. You can't go home if your basement's flooding.
And currently in the personnel policy, or in the personal time policy, it says you can't take in a full day increments. So if you take out that language, then that's saying you can take it in full day increments, which essentially would be vacation. So it's just...
I completely support the idea of humanity in these entities. It just makes for a strange bedfellow being a governmental entity with... Like, humanity is a very good word for it, and I completely agree with the idea. It's just difficult to just codify that as a governmental entity.
People are used to when they get a job, you know, no matter what, you get 3 personal days. You know that those are, like John was saying, they're just personal, maybe last minute. If your basement is flooding, you may be off the whole day, and you would just take that personal day. You don't want to use your vacation because you've got a trip planned down the road, and that's going to be taken. And you start taking it from the same bank, and then you've got 2 columns. And I just want to make sure that.
But
it sounds good.
It would be explained to the employee at the beginning of the onboarding what it is. So
in addition, in Paylocity, it tells you how much time you have. And let's say, you know, I put in time off. Carolyn approves it. It's going to deduct that time that's approved in the future off of what I have available. So employees do know what they have.
It's your birthday.
Yes.
It's your birthday. Put me down for personal day on my birthday. You've got to get permission to take that day.
Well, we just offered a birthday day.
Yeah, we added a birthday day
in
the policy.
Okay, so can you break down 0 to 4 years? How many hours... our vacation, how many are personal, how much is birthday, and
birthday's not included in the vacation time.
So I didn't see birthday on here.
A separate code would have to be created in Paylocity for that. So on the major changes sheet, currently 0 to 4 years has 2 days of personal time, which is 15 hours.
Mm-hmm.
5 to 9 has 3 days, and 10 plus has 4 days.
Right.
So the new, it's just taking that, whatever is existing, and putting it in the vacation day.
So people are offered 1 day for their birthday that has to be used within the pay period of their birthday, which is a 7.5 hour day. And then we have our holidays that people are our full-time employees are eligible for, and then we're also suggesting a floating holiday so people can observe other religious holidays that may not be closed, the library may not be otherwise closed for, or if they don't observe another holiday, there's like a list of holidays that fall within that policy that people can use
how
that
do
day on.
Honor people who celebrate Ramadan, do they, are they allowed to take vacation during that time, or is that considered their holiday? How does that work?
If they have vacation time, they would take vacation, but if they have a floating holiday, they can use that significant, that floating holiday for one day of Ramadan, and then the rest would be vacation, the same way as you get Christmas Day off, and then if you want the rest of the days around that, you have to use that.
So, Katie, I'm looking here, and this is really good. I just like the way you laid all this out. So for each increment, you show 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days.
Yeah.
Okay. But down below, 0 to 4 is 18 days, where above it's 17 days. So we have an extra day for each one of the new, and that's considered personal.
So day? The reason why it's 18 days is because if you were to take the 112.5 and add the 15, you're not going to get like an even number of days. So I was trying to make it to where employees know, okay, I get 18 days to start, not, you know, 17 and 2 hours and 6 minutes. So it's just easier for employees to understand. Not to mention, Paylocity doesn't work that way.
So we're adding costs.
We're adding work-life balance for the current employees.
Okay. I'd like to see, because every time we grant a benefit day to the employee population, there's a cost. I'd like to see what that cost is, how much it costs us for each day that we're adding. Not on an individual basis, but cumulative. And I think we need to be conscious of the fact that, you know, when you add a day's cost, not only do we either have replacement of that party in the schedule on the day that they're off, or we have degradation of the service that's being provided to our patrons.
Again, as Carolyn stated earlier, you know, vacation isn't a guaranteed approval right off the bat. It is based on the needs of the library. So if, let's say, 3 people in adult services are taking the same day off, if it's not feasible, then that's up to the manager as to who ends up getting that day off. Services wouldn't be jeopardized by employees taking time off. But we're trying to be a leader and not a follower, and I think work-life balance is super important for any employer. And so we got to start somewhere.
Okay, I think the approximate cost that Trustee Olson is talking about versus the work-life thing, I think the board should know what, okay, we're going to do this, but this is going to cost us X. I think that's what we need to make an informed decision. And in order to do that, we have to have costs associated with those items. Approximate costs. I mean, I'm not going to hold anybody to a year from now.
You know, combining the vacation time and personal time policy, it's adding one extra day to every tier. So how it stands now, you're basically paying the same thing and just that one extra day, so I can calculate that.
Thank you. I don't think we're being clear in terms of what I was talking about. I'm not talking about the vacation PTO combination. I'm talking about the additional paid holiday. What's that cost?
And the birthday holiday. We could do those calculations.
Just to be fair, I just want to ask, let's just say four employees want a certain time off. Do you get what, by seniority? You know,
first come, first serve, usually.
Okay, just asking, because you've got people that have been in for a while. They may already put their time in. Like some companies, I don't know if you encourage employees to put it in the beginning of the year.
So it does depend on department too. Each manager has different procedure for how their employees need to do time off.
Just wanted
but
fairness.
Then also to go to Trustee Sias's point of like, if your house was flooding and there was already like two people, you know, off
right.
that day, that is one of the reasons why we are all cross street. Like the library will go on. People are allowed to have time off, and those are very rare instances where that happens. So we do take into account staffing when we're approving time off requests. We do take into account other things that may happen across, like people, managers in our meeting, we talk and say, hey, I'm going to have these people out this week. Like, who do you have in your department just in case we need backup, right? We're all very communicative with each other. So I'm personally not concerned at all about
anything. I'm uncomfortable with the idea that there's going to be some number of cost on this. I think this is kind of a trick question that I've seen a lot in the last 6 years, where it doesn't matter what number you give, it won't be satisfactory. I think that's just asking to spin your wheels. If somebody needs 2 hours out on a Tuesday in the early January, and the manager says, well, we don't need another person to be here, well, then that person being gone doesn't actually cost the library an extra $60 in staffing. I just think that's going to be a wormhole of unsatisfactory answers and probably wasted time. That's my opinion.
I have a question. When someone starts, and so the 0 to 4 years, do they automatically have 18 days in a bank?
No, it's prorated.
It's prorated, okay. Because some of them start and
yep,
they go, okay.
It's prorated.
Okay. And it's available after an introductory 90-day period.
Yep.
So I think what Trustee Berry was saying earlier was to figure out the difference between the different, the new and the old, the cost factor. I think that was what you wanted to know, right?
You wanted to know the cost factor of the floating holiday and the birthday.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Because that's the new.
And not the extra day of vacation. Just the two additional things that we're looking to have. Correct?
Well, if you're going to figure it out, you might as well throw that one too. And we got it on. You don't have to go back to the drawing board.
Are there any more questions? Trustee Olson?
Yes. I know that in going through the policies, that there seemed to be a lot of inconsistency in terms of the contact person, who was making the decisions. In fact, on the same page in one case, people were being directed to HR, and then in the next paragraph, they were being directed to administration. I think that's very confusing.
Can you please provide the example?
I'm sorry?
Can you provide the example, please, so I can look at it?
Well, I have a lot of questions.
Certain things can be done through Katie, and then certain things can be done by anybody in administration. So, for example, accessing personnel files is something that should be done by Katie or Carolyn, or if Carolyn's not here, then myself. But getting a copy of, you know, something about a benefit for, like, our EAP program, that's something Sam can do when she's in the office because the file is right there. So that's why it could be inconsistent in different policies, because certain things can be handled specifically by Katie and some things can be done by anybody in the administration.
We were really conscientious about going through that because it was very inconsistent in the old policy. So we were very cognitive or conscious about who that person should be or who should the label be.
Right. And I think because we've had a change in terms of HR is no longer a department or a manager level position. I don't believe.
Well, to be a manager, you have to oversee other employees. And I don't think we had the HR person.
HR didn't oversee anybody either. So.
But as an example, there were instances where people were being directed for questions regarding IMRF to administration, and in the next paragraph, they were being directed to HR or a related type of thing. And I think that in general, the policies should be combed through to try to ensure that that sort of inconsistency, because I think that's going to increase the amount of confusion, particularly for a new employee in terms of what they, who they go to.
And I think what Mallory just said is that we consciously went through it, and some people in admin can do a lot of the functions, while some of the functions you have to go to HR only. So there's the differentiation between admin and HR.
And because we have an HR department of one, the library cannot cease operations just because one person is not here. So more than one person should be able to do other things. So if Katie has PTO.
I don't disagree.
But that's why we keep the language ambiguous for administration department. And then for things that specifically Katie has to deal with, it says HR generalist. And things that are generally, we try to keep the language ambiguous, because even with our business office, it used to be called business office specialist, and now it's called business office generalist. And so when you change job titles, then you have to go back and change every single policy. That's kind of ridiculous. So being able to keep it as ambiguous means anybody who can access that in the administration department can answer a question in Katie's absence, can be, and this policy allows that to be. And then on top of that, case names change, right? It used to be HR manager, and now it's an HR generalist, and we didn't have to go through every single policy and change every single job title. So I think that was some of the reasoning behind it too, but we were pretty diligent about that. But we can review it again, double check.
On the employment at will policy, the fourth paragraph, the third paragraph, the last sentence, and this gets back to, we pulled out the part-time employee or the minor employees from the policy, and yet we've got here a sentence or a partial sentence that says, unless you have a written employment agreement to the contrary, which is signed by the Board of Trustees. We don't have a situation like that. Why would we put this in the policy?
This is in the current handbook, and the one that you guys are reviewing currently was reviewed by an employment lawyer. If she thought it was a good idea to take it out, she would have let us know. And who's to know that there might not be an employment agreement in the future.
And we had somebody contracted, like we had the graphic designer a few years ago contracted, so it doesn't have to be about minors. And so this is, you know, to cover us in case something were to come up, like a few years ago and we didn't have a graphic artist and we contracted somebody out to work on our newsletter.
Right.
That was a signed agreement that we had with that person. And so this covers us in those cases, because they're not quite a temporary employee, right? They're onboarding, but it's still.
Are we talking about a contracted?
Not a vendor. It was an individual who we interviewed and did
sign a contract with her for her to do marketing.
It wasn't like a service. It was an employment contract. I wasn't in it at that time, but I.
Okay.
But they're still asking the board to sign something. We're keeping this in.
So let's say we decide to hire a contracted employee to do something for 6 months. I don't know what it could be or what it would look like, but there may be a time that we would hire an employee that is contracted.
Or like
could be somebody to rewrite our web page as an example.
Or an interim employee if something were to happen to self an interim.
So there's no benefits or anything.
Yeah,
it would just be whatever their salary is.
On the 2 pages forward, the employee status policy says the bottom of the second paragraph, exempt employees are not entitled to overtime pay and are excluded from the specific provisions of federal and state laws. This seems to ignore the, at least the federal provisions where exempt employees have to work or have to earn more than $58,900 something, or between $58,000 and $59,000 annually in order to be exempt from overtime if they work in excess of 40 hours.
This doesn't say it's excluded from all provisions. It says specific provisions. It just doesn't outline all the things. So obviously we abide by the federal laws that each,
and it's
but
not,
we don't need to list them all here the same way we don't list every other employment law for any other non-exempt employee.
And the increase was not approved for January 1st.
And it's not just the salary that you have to look at. There's like
a
checklist
yeah.
that you go through. So there's a process to determine if you're exempt or non-exempt. So we follow those state and federal guidelines.
There's a classification test.
And as president,
I'd like to better understand that because I'm not clear in terms of when somebody would be exempt and not exempt. If I'm not clear,
like Carolyn said, there's a step-by-step, you know, guide of does this person do this, yes or no? It's like a flow chart, and then you
have to No, and I understand that, but my point is that if I'm not clear as a reader of this, your employees aren't going to be any clearer than I am.
But I don't think that's necessary for an employment handbook. I think that's nothing necessary for Katie's position, because when somebody's when we're posting a job, it's already classified at that point as exempt or non-exempt. It's not up to the employee to determine if something's exempt or non-exempt. That's up to Katie and the administration department. It doesn't need to be classified by that. If people have questions about that, they can have an open discussion with Katie, but I don't think.
I agree 100%.
Are we voting on this tonight?
We would like to. In the regular meeting.
In the regular meeting, at this meeting. It would come on.
I'd like just some clarification about I-9 statuses. On the page for Immigrant Reform and Control Act policy, it talks about if people are not providing or fail to provide information in regards to renewal of I-9, then they're automatically exempt. Automatic internment. Are we able to follow I-9 status in our payroll system?
No, but
so
I just did do a self-audit, and we are up to date.
So we maintain, I don't even know whether we have anybody that falls under that, and I don't really care, but I'm just asking the question if we have to monitor that, follow it, know if somebody should fail to comply.
Again, I just did a self-audit of all of our I-9s, and we are up to date and good. There's no concerns. And there's documentation of what changes were made, if any, and attached to the document. So if USCIS came in and did an audit, there would be no issues.
Thank you.
Madam Vice President?
Yes.
If there's no further questions, I'm going to make a motion to adjourn this committee of the whole meeting.
I'll second that.
Second it. Okay, can we have a roll call, please?
Trustee Barry?
Yes.
DeCarl?
Yes.
DeSmit?
Yes.
Sias? Yes. Olson?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Danny absent.
Okay, and it's 6:55. We'll reconvene in about 5 minutes for our regular meeting.